Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Respected listeners, Mufti Saab will be speaking on the talk. The topic is all about Salah, and our one Mulana had asked this question just now about Salah. So Mufti Saab will be elaborating on issues on Salah in this particular talk, inshallah. So this will be quite beneficial, and also it will be relevant, inshallah.
Number one, clean our hearts of jealousy and malice, just as we wash the other parts of our body. Like we wash our body, make the intention. During the wudu, Ya Allah, my heart is in your hands. Please Allah, you clean my heart. Number one. Number two, clean ourselves from sin. And number three, be neither wasteful nor abstemious in the use of water. So when making wudu, don't waste water. Open the tap fully and the water is gushing. And don't be so miserly also when water is coming out in drips and we don't wash our limbs thoroughly and properly. So all this is concerning wudu. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told one Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, don't waste water. He said, oh Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, can there be wastage of water in wudu? Sahabi's name was Sa'ad. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't waste water even though you could be making wudu by a flowing river. So what we learn from there is wastage is not allowed. Now what happens with our taps in the masajid? Sometimes we open the tap fully and we're making wudu. And then water is gushing. Couple of liters go away. Sometimes more than a bucket just to make one wudu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's usage of wudu was one mud. A mud. A small amount. Not even 1 liter. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used for wudu. So one idea is, when making wudu, especially when we come to the point of mask of the head, wet the hands and turn off the tap. Then we make mask from front right to the back and from the back right to the front. Then our 4 fingers are still moist. You don't even have to wet it again. It's already moist because you separated the 3 fingers from the 4 fingers. So the 6 fingers were separated from the 4 fingers. And then we use these 2 fingers to clean the ear, to make mashh of the ear and the thumb in the rear of the ear. Then the back part of the hand is still moist. Then we make the mashh. This mashh also is such an amazing sunnah. There were scientists who embraced Islam due to this sunnah. When he saw a jamaat in the path of Allah in France, and they were making wudu and they're making mask. So he asked them, but why do you all do this? They explained wudu. He said, no, but why do you put water on your nape? They said, it's the teaching of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't know the reason behind it. He embraced Islam. He says, I am a neurosurgeon, and the best treatment for brain damage is to moisten the brain from the nape at least 5 times a day. And that specialist embraced Islam. So the first point concerning salah is wudu, is knowledge. Number two is wudu. Number three, the dress code. The dress code, 3.1 now, should be acquired through honest living. Number two, our clothing should be clean. Then it should be in accordance to sunnah. So with cleanliness, it should be in accordance to sunnah. For example, our ankles should not be covered. It should be above the ankles and best half the shin, because that's how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted. He exhorted us that the garment should be half the shin. He held the Sahabi's muscle above the ankle. He said it should be till here. And then also, our clothing should be simple, not displaying vanity and pride. Point number four is the time of salah. We should be able to tell the correct time at any moment. Number two, always be watchful of adhan. Wherever we are in the world, find out what time is salah. Not only salah, what time is adhan? Because if our intention is to come to the masjid for salah, we'll miss a few rak'at. If the intention is to come before adhan, sometimes we'll make it there at the time of adhan. And number three, be particular about the time of salah, lest we should be late for salah. That's point number four. What's number five? Qibla. So we must face the Qibla physically. Facing the Qibla physically. Number two, have the heart in union with Allah. So connect the heart to Allah. Because Allah is the Qibla of the heart. And number three, be as attentive in salah as a slave is before his master. So humble ourselves in salah. And this is how we'll enjoy the salah. So what's the 3 points in Qibla? Number one, face the Qibla physically. Who'll tell us the second point? What's the second point in Qibla? Ji? Like the body is physically facing the Qibla, the heart must connect with Allah. Because we don't confine Allah to one space. The body faces the Qibla. Never ever say, Allah is in this direction or that direction. Allah's knowledge is everywhere. So the body faces the Qibla physically, the heart connects to Allah spiritually. And number three, on Qibla, the body, we should humble ourselves before Allah like a slave before his master. Okay? What about, who can repeat for me the points under wudu? Wudu breaks up into three. Which are the three? Who can tell us? Who can repeat for us? Anyone can try. And there's no harm if we made a mistake also. Okay? And when we're washing our limbs, we're asking Allah to cleanse our hearts. See? And the third is, neither be wasteful or abstemious. Remember? Okay, that was Qibla. I think we're forgetting that one point going to three. Is it becoming difficult? Huh? So let's try, inshallah. Qibla. Okay, the next one, number six, is intention. We must be definite as to which salah we are offering. It can't be, we're not sure whether it's Zuhur or Asr. A person slept the whole morning in Ramadan, now he woke up, he doesn't know whether he's performing Dhuhr or Asr. No, it doesn't work like that. And we request the others, mashallah, who are in i'tikaf, it's such an opportunity, Allah reward you. Some might be listening on our bedding, but that's not the actual benefit, mashallah. It's not just about knowledge, it's about connecting to Allah. So mashallah, you can read the dua if we are on our bedding. What's the dua of awakening? Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana. Allah, I thank you, you've given us life after death. Wa ilayhi an-nushur. Who can remember the other dua we mentioned in the morning? And we should remember and learn this dua. Alhamdulillah, alladhi radda ilayya ruhi. Allah, I thank you, you have returned my ruh to me. See, the translation is also easy. Radda ilayya ruhi. Ya Allah, tune mera ruh wapis kar diya. Ya Allah, you returned my ruh into my body. Because how many go to sleep, Allah doesn't allow the ruh to come back into the body. That's in the Quran. The ruh seeks Allah's permission. Man went to sleep. The ruh leaves the body. It's partially connected. That's how a man who's sleeping can still get disturbed. Because his ruh is gone. But when you're disturbing him, the ruh inside the body is calling the actual ruh back. But the ruh has departed. For the ruh to come back to the body, the ruh needs Allah's permission. So, radda ilayya ruhi. Ya Allah, you allowed my ruh to come back to my body. But then how many wake up in the morning physically impaired? Wa'afani fi jasadi. Allah, I can't thank you enough. You've granted me afiyat and well-being and capability in the functionality of my limbs. Wa'afani fi jasadi. And oh Allah, I thank you. Wa'adhina li bidhikrihi. You've enabled me to utter your Pak name. How many wake up in the morning and take it for granted? Ah, I was supposed to wake up. I knew I'm going to do this today. We just take it for granted and we forget to attribute to Allah. That's why we go out in the path of Allah for ourselves to connect to Allah. To attribute everything. The temperament of Sahaba. Sahaba attributed everything to Allah. If Allah say hota hai, makhluk say kuch nahi hota. Everything is from Allah, nothing is from makhluk. It's practical. We have to, in everything we do, attribute to Allah. It is from Allah. Allah willed it. Look at Hazrat Bilal. He goes to prepare, goes to propose by the father-in-law for a certain daughter, Bilal bin Rabah. His father's name was Rabah radiallahu anhu. His mother's name was Hamama radiallahu anha. She was also a very special sahabiyah, Hamama. So he went to the house. He says, respected father of the prospective bride, I am Bilal, this is my brother. We were hopeful you can get us married to your daughters. But if you want to know about us, I was a slave. Allah freed me. Kunna abdan fa'ataqana Allah. I was astray, Allah guided me. And this is how I reached where I am. If you get us married, Alhamdulillah, we'll appreciate it. If you give us your daughter. If you don't give us your daughter, may Allah bless you. Allah is still the greatest. So everything they attributed to Allah. Sahaba's temperament was, even if they went to someone for the fulfillment of their need or to go somewhere to purchase something, they would say, brother, if you helped us, may Allah bless you. We appreciate you because Allah taught us appreciation. But if you refuse to help us, we excuse you because it's actually not in your hands. In tu'ati, فَإِنَّ الْمُعْطِي هُوَ اللَّهُ وَأَنْتَ مَشْكُورٌ. If you give me and you help me, Allah actually gave me. But mashkur, I thank you because my deen teaches appreciation. But if you refuse to help me, wa in tamna, it's actually not from you. It is not yours to give or deprive. The actual being in whose hands it is Allah. Fa innal mani' huwa Allah wa anta ma'zur. It's actually Allah. But ma'zur, I accept your udhar, your excuse that you couldn't give, but basically it's not even in your hands. Ajit, this was Sahaba's temperament. So they never harbored hatred, or this one didn't do for me, this one didn't sort me out. Sahaba looked at it this way. It's not even in that person's hands. So you harbor no ill feeling towards anybody. Ah, that one didn't sort out the deal. Oh, this one didn't arrange it for me. Now I suffered. No. It's all from Allah. If He helped me, we make shukr to Him. But actually we thank Allah first because Allah gave it. Like this in life, life will be a very peaceful place. We won't harbor hatred for anyone because it's not in makhluk's hands. And this is the beautiful teachings of this work. Attribute to Allah. So what we're discussing, intention, isn't it? We must be definite as to what salah we are offering. Number two, remain constantly conscious of our presence before Allah in salah. That's because see, we start off Allahu Akbar. And we're conscious. Then the mind wanders away and travels throughout the globe. So intention actually is to remain constantly conscious. Now let's say our mind wanders away. Now through i'tikaf, we can practice this. Prolong our sunnah. Prolong our nafil. You know Surah Yasin, read it. The mind will wander. Bring it back. Then the mind wanders again. Bring it back. At first, the mind was conscious for half a minute. As you practice, the mind remains conscious for a minute, then for 2 minutes, then for 3 minutes. All this is through practice. And number three, under intention, have perfect faith that Allah knows all that is in our hearts. Remind ourselves, Allah is watching our heart. Allah sees the heart. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Allah is seeing. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Does he know not that Allah is watching, Allah is seeing? Point number 7. Takbira tahreema. Takbiratu tahreema. So the first point, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah brings here. Now this kitab, every one of us should be already establishing the halaqa of ta'aleem in our homes for our family members, our children, and for all of us on a daily basis. This halqa takes place in the masjid. And this halqa should be taking place in our homes. All of us are going to try, inshallah. With determination. One is to try to say, yeah, we'll see. The other is to say, ya Allah, I need this. The benefit of this in our homes, through entering our home without making dhikr, without taking Allah's name, shayateen gain access into the home. Just establish the halqa of ta'aleem. This draws the presence of the malaika of Allah. Automatically, that dispels all the devils. That's how Mubarak is this amal. How much of benefit? Then husband will appreciate wife, vice versa. children will have a better relationship with one another, and they'll have respect for their parents. The home will be bonded through the barakah of Qala Allah and Qala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Takbirat tahreema, to pronounce the words correctly. How? Allahu Akbar, correctly. Expressing the glory of Allah. Right? So the first point under Takbirat al-Tahreema, pronounce the words correctly. Number two, to raise both hands up to the ears. This signifies that we are severing our connection with all except Allah. So, Allahu Akbar. The hands parallel, not parallel. The hands with the palms facing Qibla. In this posture, parallel to the ear and shoulder. So not alongside the ear, with the side facing Qibla. The palms. This is a common mistake actually. We just raise our head. Allahu Akbar. And sometimes we feel we're supposed to be touching our ears. But there's no mention of touching the ear. But the palms facing Qibla, simultaneously pronouncing Allah's glory. Allahu Akbar. And then we tie our hands. And this signifies our severing ties with makhluk and our communion with Khaliq. Let me repeat that. I'm going to see who can repeat it for us from the wonderful people that are here, mashallah. To pronounce the words correctly. Number two, to raise both hands right up to the ears. This signifies that we have severed our connection with all except Allah. And number three, to feel the greatness of Allah in our hearts when we say Allahu Akbar. Feel Allah's glory. Allahu Akbar. So who'll repeat the three for us, inshallah? Don't feel shy. Don't worry, mashallah. If we make a mistake, we try. But when we repeat, then we remember. What you say, young man? You prepared to try for us? Bismillah, go for it. MashaAllah. And that denotes severing ties. See how beautiful, as they say, hands up, you know, total submission. Now this is told, Ya Allah, everything else is behind our back. Allah, Ya Allah, only Allah. We're building our bond with Allah. And so when we start correctly like this, then the procedure of the salah will be so enjoyable. We'll look forward to it. And we'll enjoy those moments of salah, because that is what is salah all about. And one more, to feel the greatness of Allah. Well done, mashallah. What's your name? Huh? Sa'ad, alhamdulillah. To feel the greatness of Allah in our hearts when we say Allahu Akbar. Who also wants to repeat this for us so we can remember? So that when salah time comes, we can practice this. It's not that, oh mashallah, it sounded nice. Hey, the kitab is so nice. I should also be doing this kitab in my home and it ends there. No. We have to practically do it. The next is Qiyam. Qiyam is the standing posture. To keep our gaze at the place of sajda. During Qiyam, keep our gaze transfixed to the position of sajda. So where are we going to make sajda? That's where we look. So during salah, we're not supposed to be looking forward. Who's the imam? Or who's this man who's reading? Or ahead on the front wall of the masjid. Actually, our gaze should be transfixed to the place of sajda. Number one. Number two, feel in our heart that we are standing before Allah. Feel in our heart that we're standing before Allah. And number three, not to think of anything else during the Qiyam. Because what is happening during the Qiyam? We're speaking to Allah. And Allah is speaking to us. So when the Imam is reciting, oh, we are reciting in our individual salah, we're reading Quran. So Allah is speaking to us and we are communicating with Allah. So what should we think about? The first thing we're supposed to be thinking about is the meaning. That's why a little bit of the meaning, as we sit with the ulama, we learn, okay, Al-Fatiha means this, this chapter cruxes this. Al-Fil, Surah Fil means this. This is showing Allah's glory, how Allah destroyed Abraha's elephants. So we deliberate how powerful Allah is. As far as the meaning is concerned, if we don't know the meaning, then what do we deliberate over? Over how we'll stand before Allah on Judgment Day. So Qiyam in Salah is a preparation for Judgment Day. And then we think about how we're going to die and we lower it into our qabr. So if we don't know the meaning, we deliberate over death. And what happens then is, salah is a practical remediary, practical preparation for our death. Then number 9 is qira'ah. To recite the Quran with tajweed. Now mashallah, those who can't, Allah is merciful, but we should try. Correct our Surah Fatiha. This is why in the path of Allah, it's such a beautiful work that sometimes now we learned when we were in madrasa in the young days, and some of us fell off because for different reasons. Now we shy to go and learn from someone. So when we're out in the path of Allah, that's why all of us should go out in the path of Allah. It makes us better human beings. I personally remember my grandfathers, before going out in the path of Allah, they didn't know how to read. Going out in the path of Allah conscientized them of the fact that I need to learn how to make tilawat of the Quran. Then through coming out, this gave them himmat to go to the imam, the Maulana who's in the masjid, and ask for time. And that's how they would learn how to read the Quran Kareem. Now, my one grandfather who's still around in the dunya, alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, 2-3 juz a day is easy. But all through the barakat of the work, and where it started, 3 days in the path of Allah. So going out in the path of Allah is such a practical method of learning, because we revise the surahs. So nobody is being insulted. Then what happened was, the Amir Sahab, during the talim, will separate us into small groups. And one reads to the other. And among them there's someone who knows the tajweed, and he'll politely correct us. And then we'll find, when we're reading thereafter, we'll enjoy our recital. Because we're reading correctly and not haphazardly. So number one, to recite the Qur'an Majeed with tajweed, we have to try. Allah is understanding, yes. But shouldn't we, out of the love of Allah, try? Even we're working for a company for so long, they're paying us a top dollar salary, top notch. We also want to pronounce the company name properly. Even sometimes it's a Chinese or Japanese or Korean or some other name. That's a company. This is Allah's kalam. At least we try to correct our tilawa. At least the basic surahs. To recite the Quran Majeed with tajweed. Number 2, to ponder on the meanings of what we recite. That's why inshallah after the salahs, we discussing the shorter surahs and their meaning. So inshallah we'll do Mu'awwidhatayn, we'll do Surah Fil. Allah give us tawfiq, the few opportunities we have, just so that throughout our life, when we're reciting those chapters, we can deliberate and ponder. And number 3, to bind ourselves to what we recite. That when Quran says Allah detests the zalim, our intent, basically we know what that means. In Allah, la yuhibbu al-zalimeen. Allah dislikes the zalim and the ways and the actions of the oppressor. Now we should see, in salah we should make dua in our hearts, Ya Allah, save me from oppressing any of your creation. Allah save us. Just last night someone came and he was discussing, he's saying, I'm in such a business and this and that. But people come there and they say, hey, I just don't want to deal with slummos. Now imagine, non-Muslims are saying that. What is happening to the reputation of a Muslim? This is why in Jamaat we make effort on the Muslim to become a better human being, not to oppress any of Allah's creation. Imagine people in the corporate world are thinking, no, a Muslim is not paying me on time. And so many a time, we're hearing this in different towns. Why? What? Where's our consciousness of Allah? So we have to bind ourselves by what Allah is saying. Imagine, I heard a man is saying, a Hindu will pay you on time, but a Muslim will not. And he got the money, but he'll stall and stall. And our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when a man can afford and he doesn't pay, matalul ghani zulmun. Allah's Nabi said, it is a grave injustice that I can afford and I still don't pay people their due. And also, why scramble when a man is a needy individual? Pay him a little extra. Pay him his due. The sunnah is actually pay people more. This man is in need, he's charging us 1,000. But you can see he's a needy person, he has children. Give him a little extra, 1,500, 1,200. How much of dua he'll give? Then we stop and buy millis. That mama is selling that millis, 15, 20 rands. Why ask for discount there? That one we should really give a little extra. She's going to take it and buy for her children something to eat. Why must we bargain there? We should give extra. So bind ourselves. Allah loves ihsan. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsineen. The good doers. And those who love to be kind to humanity. Muhsineen. Then think about it, ya Allah. Then as we're going home, we want to make ihsan upon somebody. We want to help somebody. Then we have ruku', number 10. The essentials of ruku' are to keep the back quite straight in salah. So when standing before Allah, don't perch the back. Don't bend the back. But stand straight before Allah out of respect for Allah. Because salah is protocol, standing before Allah. The whole body should be above the legs and should be in one straight line. Body above the feet. One straight line, not bending forward. Sometimes now we think, no, I want to be more humble before Allah. So we want to bend frontward in the qiyam. No, the qiyam posture is not to bend. It's to stand completely straight, bending the head slightly with the eye at the posture of sujood. The place of sujood. Number 2, to hold the knees firmly with the fingers spread apart. Grip the knees. Number 3, to recite tasbih with humility and devotion. What's the tasbih in ruku'? Who can tell me? Subhana rabbiyal azim. And the meaning of the ruku' is very interesting. Subhana rabbi, my Rabb Allah is free from every blemish. Al-Azim, my Allah is the greatest. So if we can try and say Azim instead of Azim, it will be.
So this is Mufti Saab's program. Alhamdulillah that it was tune off the world and tuning into Salah. Mufti Saab will be with us. Mufti Muhammad Aku Saab will be with us. He's on travels at the moment. So he will be with us next week again live, inshallah. From us and the team, Jazakumullah Khairah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.